Ross, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So the first big event to roll into town, into Atlanta specifically, was Super Bowl 53. That was early February. It was a low-scoring affair between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. But sports aside, there was something else brewing, a culture crisis.
Yeah, you're right, Ricky. Millions of people moved through Atlanta in the span of a few days. There were some 10,000 volunteers on hand to help. When you think of the Super Bowl, you also think of the halftime show. And the league caught the ire of some ATLians after they picked Maroon 5 to headline the show. Just take a listen to how Matthew Keen Reagan felt about it before the game got here.
If you want to understand what the city is about, who we are, what we stand for, pick someone from Atlanta to represent us at the halftime show, not some boys from L.A.
But there was somewhat of a backtracking by the league.
An Atlanta artist performed after all, right? Somewhat of a solution?
Somewhat. About halfway into the performance, an old-school Cadillac convertible rolled onto the field, and it was none other than Atlanta's own Big Boy. All night, man, I'll be on it all
day. Straight up, pimp if you want me, you can find me in the A. This was not the first time Atlanta had a culture crisis, so to speak. It was only a month after the Super Bowl when Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms made a big announcement. This about a very dark chapter in the city's history.
Yeah, you're right. In March, Mayor Bottoms and the Atlanta police announced they would retest, not reopen cases, but retest all the evidence from the Atlanta child murders, which happened in the late 70s and 80s. I want you to take a listen to Catherine Leach, whose son was killed. Explain why this decision to retest is so important to her.
I want to know who killed Curtis. His case is still sitting on the shelf, being getting dusty and rusty, and you can't see the page. I want some closure. I want some justice so that I can rest in peace.
Leach's son was one of the 30 African-American kids, teens, and adults that were killed. Only two of the murders were solved, and Wayne Williams was convicted of them.
In just a month, going from the Super Bowl to child murders, it's unbelievable. Let's pivot just a bit, though, and talk about something that really does affect everybody, transportation. A year cannot go by in the state of Georgia without a big transportation story. So give us a nice end-of-the-year bow on what happened.
Two quick words, MARTA and scooters. As far as MARTA, the expansion to Gwinnett County had a chance to be historic, but more than half the voters said, no, we still don't want it. And then scooters, you had the first deaths in Atlanta, but across the state, they were banned. The University of Georgia, Woodstock, Alpharetta, Macon even placed a temporary ban on them. So much so that the state legislature formed a study committee to hear from all parties to figure out, do there need to be state laws to wrangle these devices?
One of the bigger stories from 2019, Ross, was one that never really happened. The ICE raids. Remind us what those few weeks were like across Georgia.
Yeah, for the immigrant community, the first 2 weeks of July were rather tense. Atlanta was on the short list of cities that would be targeted by immigration and customs enforcement for what President Trump tweeted would be the removal of, quote, millions of illegal aliens. Here's Azadeh Shashahani with Project South. She's talking about the chilling effect that that tweet had on these communities.
People are, you know, staying indoors because that seems to be the best thing to do if, you know, ICE tries to come to the communities and try to arrest people.
People were missing work. They had neighborhood stakeouts. They were on edge for a raid that really never came.
Finally, Ross, from the immigrant community to a native son of Georgia who eventually became an immigrant himself, the story of Eugene Bullard. This was important to you, a truly inspirational one. What about Eugene Bullard's story captivated you as a reporter?
Yeah, a few things. One, he's the guy most people have never heard of. He's the world's first African-American fighter pilot, born in Columbus, Georgia, but could never fight here and left the country at the age of 16. Ended up fighting for France in World War I in October. The Robins Air Force Base finally gave him a statue in his honor. Here's his cousin, Harriet Bullard White, explaining why that moment was so important to her.
I am absolutely holding back tears to finally have him recognized, and to have him recognized here in Georgia, where he had to leave.
And keep in mind, Ricky, this came more than 100 years after he fought in the war, but that did not matter to his family, who said it's never too late.
It's an incredible story, Ross. Thank you for bringing it to us. And thank you for joining me to recap 2019. I appreciate it.
Thank you.